Good to see everyone. It's a blessing to be able to stand before you and to present God's Word. And I think that we have a great study and much to think about this morning. It's March. And so in March, depending on when Passover is, I will preach rather on a lot on the gospel, on the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which I'm going to say mostly for April. I'm kind of switching things up this year. But when it's in March, I'll be marching toward that. And then in April, I like to do on subjects in regards to apologetics and defending our faith and what the scriptures have to say. So I'm getting ahead of myself. And I want us to go this morning to Genesis chapter 1. I want us to draw out from this text here in Genesis 1 in a moment. That's going to be our focus. Before we do that, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are gracious and loving to us, and we come before you now, asking your blessing upon us as we study your word. Father, we ask that you cleanse us by your word. May your word be on our hearts and on our minds and our thoughts and the way that we think. Father, help us to focus upon how you have created us this morning. Think about your creation and the order that you have put things in. That, Father, we give glory to you, and we do things according to your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love how the Bible begins, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And following that, there's not a list of evidences for God's for proof of God. It just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As the rest of the scriptures tell us, we should be able to know. We should be able to see from God's creation. If there's proof there in Genesis 1, and it's in how God created everything, how wonderful it is, the detail about that. But I think what's going on in our world today and culture is people rebelling and going contrary to God's creation. They're not looking at the Bible from the perspective of Genesis and the Genesis account of how God created all things. I think about this in a lot of ways is how Jesus told parables. Christ gave parables so that those who are hard-hearted and didn't really want to contemplate and accept the things that he taught, that they would not understand his parables. And we have a world today that's very much like that. When it comes to Genesis, a lot of people can't wrap their minds around it. They've got an ulterior story about how the universe came into the existence from nothing and that it's expanding from a great Big Bang. And then after 9 billion years, the earth was formed. And then a few billion years later, life became to emerge and intelligent life. And that's the idea that they have. And when you view things in that perspective, you get some very strange things. Things that I look at sometimes that kind of make me laugh. Like there are diets that are based upon the evolution of man and what he ate as a hunter-gatherer. And when I think about that, I'm thinking, well, when I go to the Bible and I see God creating man and what he has given, and actually it mentions that here in Genesis chapter 1 and then Genesis 9, the food that he's given to us, that kind of all falls apart. These ideas and concepts that are built off of what are just new myths. But when we come to Genesis, what I want to do this morning is I want to encourage, especially anybody who might have doubts this morning, and you're here, to go on and assume Genesis is true, absolutely in every way. And that you look at the world and God's creation in the order that has been formed through Genesis chapter 1. The Genesis account of creation has shaped our world and our reality in the Western world more than what we realize. And the more that that falls apart, the more that our culture begins to crumble and people drift away from God. Yet when we go to here in Genesis 1, we find value in man and humanity and the way that God has created everything. And so these scriptures here, they shape the way that we view reality. It gives us a reasonable balance by which we behave and the things that we do. And again, without debate this morning, we want to make sure that we completely accept what we're reading right here. I'm going to ask you, don't read into millions of years into the text, as some do, who still believe claim a belief in God and Christ, but just to take what the text says and to listen to what is written here in Genesis 1. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we go through the text here in Genesis 1 and we see the days of creation. And we come down to the sixth day and we see that God made the beast of the earth. And then in verse 26 is where I'm going to begin reading. We're going to read to the end of the chapter, verses 26 through 31, and draw out and make some observations here from the text, and we'll build on that. So look with me there. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, God speaking into creation. And I want you to notice, if you read the context there and you're familiar with Genesis 1, something unique and different is happening here. God says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the field, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, and which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God saw everything at the very end there of his completion, the 6 days of creation, and he says it is very good. Now, when you look here in the context, God creates things in the life that he's created before. It says that God creates according to their kind. Every kind, every species. But when he comes to man, there's only one kind. And the kind is after the likeness of God. That stands out to me for a number of reasons. It exalts humanity and it puts us in a place that the world would not put humanity. The world and culture today will at one minute tell you you can do whatever you want with your life and that it makes us out to be gods in ourselves. And the next minute to justify making our own decisions and making our own identity and having our own authority as though we are God, they go from the other extreme to the other and say, yes, but we're just evolved apes and animals. And so they use this idea of being the highest, you know, evolved ape to justify their behavior. You know, when we see here in the text, we're made in the likeness of God. We're created by him. There is a humility there that we have a creator and we are below him. And when we think about being created in the image of God, what does that mean? What comes to your mind? A lot of different scholars have said different things about this. And I think the particular details about it, you can think about, but I think it includes all of these things. So, things that set humanity apart is the fact that we have language. We use words. And that here, God is speaking all things into creation. We know a lot about him. We see the creative nature of God reflected in the likeness of man. So, not only do we have language, but we have the creativity. We have the will of man, the will to be able to choose and as far as our behavior. We have reasoning and intellect that is far superior than anything else so that we rule over all of creation and all that God has created. We've been put in that position by our Creator. It's interesting to me that we read right here that we're created in the image of God. When you look at when Adam and Eve are tempted over in Genesis chapter 3, you remember what the serpent says there? The serpent says to Eve, you eat of this tree, you will not surely die, but you will what? You will be like God. You are already made in the likeness and image of God. But he says there, you will be like God in knowing good and evil. But God didn't give that to man. And we know from the rest of the scriptures, because of the weakness of our flesh, and here, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the law essentially only exposes us to what is right and wrong, and condemns us and shows us that we are below God, and that we are not God, but we are made in the likeness of God. So as we read this scripture, we see other things about being in the likeness of God. The scripture gives more and expands upon it. As soon as it says here that God has created us in His likeness, it says that God has put man to have dominion over everything, all over His creation, over the beasts and the birds of the air, and over the fish of the sea, and the beasts on the earth. God has put us over all those things. We see here also in the text that God created humanity male and female. Why? He says to reproduce, to be fruitful, to multiply in the world. That was God's plan. And today, without this picture of Genesis and being created in God's image, you have people degrading themselves, justifying behaviors, claiming that they're neither male nor female anymore. All these peculiar things. But this is the very basis of the family. This is the basis of community and culture, and all of that is being attacked. It has been laid down as a foundation here in the book of Genesis. The way that God has created, it shapes the way that we view things. And so as Christians, when we see that the world seems to have gone mad, because it has. It has lost any perspective of God. And then Romans 1 tells us all of this would happen. Anytime that you begin to worship the creation over the Creator, then God will give you over to sins, to lust. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. And we're given over to these things because we worship again the Creator, the creature, rather than the Creator. And it's madness. It's insanity. God has given humanity, again, command. He's given us a command, an instruction, and a mission to subdue the earth. It starts there with man, right there. And so man has a mission. And then as we start reading about this, we read about God giving us food. He's giving us what we need for habitation. And when we go to Genesis 2, we see God putting Adam in the garden and putting him there to tend to the garden, to care for it. And it puts us also in a relationship to creation. Today we have people who are so worried about the environment. They're either one, taking advantage of it and, you know, mutilating it or poisoning certain things. Or on the other extreme, they're looking at a grove of trees or a forest and calling it sacred and worshiping nature. They've gone from one extreme to the other. And yet what you notice here in Genesis chapter 1 is it gives us a basis, a foundation of being level-headed, to having a balance of understanding. There's not one extreme or the other that we should be pulled toward. What we see here is that man has been put here in the care of God's creation because it serves a purpose. That we tend to what God has created us because He has put things there to take care of us. He has given us food. He's given us blessings. And all those things that are mentioned here within Genesis chapter 1. Only in the conclusion again here in the creation, in the perfection of it, does God finish with creating man. Creating man and woman, male and female, in His likeness. And God says, it is very good. I would encourage you right now not to degrade yourself or put yourself down. Not to exalt yourself as though you get to make all the decisions or that you are the standard of right and wrong in your life. But that God, that you are under Him. But also not to degrade yourself to say I'm merely a beast or an animal. That I've evolved over time, that my life doesn't have any meaning to it. God has made you specifically and uniquely. When we read here in the Genesis account of creation, we see it is essential. It's essential to how Jesus taught. It's the basis by which He taught and gave instruction as well. Jesus would go back and make reference to the Genesis account. He would talk about Moses. He would talk about these events. He makes reference to the flood. He makes reference to Abraham. He makes reference to Lot. Jesus accepted Genesis, and He spoke of God's Word and all of it, and that He fulfilled all of it, and that it is the unbreakable Word of God. And I remind you here of what He says in regards to the creation. In Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9, Jesus says this. He says, but from the beginning of the creation. Jesus teaching, he's saying, from the beginning of the creation, there isn't any other creation. This is it. This is how it all began. And Christ confirms it. You know, if this was supposed to be taken as some kind of parable or an analogy of Genesis chapter 1, Jesus would have told us. And here he uses it as the truth. And we know I have a lot of people today who would say, well, don't you look at the universe and the earth and see how old it is? And as we talked about before, I love the description there of Adam on day 7. On day 6, God created Adam. And on day 7, how old was Adam? He was a day old. But how mature was he? Maybe 20, 30 years old. That would have been the maturity of his body, even though he's a day old. And God in his creation made a mature creation. I don't have to wrangle about that. I don't have to get into the details of science about it. I can see very clearly how God created everything. And so when Jesus says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, he's quoting right there from Genesis 1 and verse 27, saying this is fact. This is how God has made it. He's made man and woman. He's done it for a reason, for they are to multiply. They are to fill the earth. And he says, for this reason, now he quotes from Genesis 2:24, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man separate. When I read that, and of course the context there, the Pharisees talking about, can't we divorce for any reason? And Jesus is saying, listen, here's the institution of marriage. This is how God created it. Don't mess with it. And as far as it comes to creation, God made it that way. He created them from the beginning in this order, in this way. Don't distort it. Don't alter it. Go with the plan that God has given. As I look at these passages of Scripture, when going from Genesis and listening to Jesus quote and teach from the book of Genesis, I consider again that there are polar views in our world, things that are presented today. And again, as I've noted before, it seems as though humanity does one or two things. We degrade ourselves as animals and beasts, or we exalt ourselves as though we are gods. When I read through the New Testament and I read about how God is, how Christ, all things were made through Christ, and all the powers and the authorities and dominions have come into existence or are under His authority, what I hear there is the people back in those times, whether Caesar who claimed to be God or the Pharaohs who claimed to be God or any man who had a position of authority and claimed to be God, who came up with their own dictates and their own morals and their own ideas, that the Scriptures say that they're not. They were all made in the image of God. And of course, we can go on and we can look at the fall of man and say that we're also equal in the fact that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet men want to boast of themselves, and then they want to degrade themselves. And in the thinking today, it goes from one extreme to the other. Either I'm an evolved ape, or I'm a God ruling the world and giving myself my own identity. This is the absurdity of not thinking and looking at the world through the book of Genesis. Now, as we think about the things that take place here in Genesis chapter 1, we think about how man is to rule over the earth, how God has given him dominion over all things, how he is to fill the earth. You hear people today saying the population's too high, it needs to be brought down low. And then I hear others say, no, the population needs to go upward, that we could fill the earth two or three times more with people and be fine and have plenty of food and resources as we need. You hear these extremes and the fear that's being put out there. I don't have to fear that, because I know that God created the world and it's in His hands. He's the one who destroyed it with a flood, and He's the one who's going to destroy it with fire. Man can't do anything. God is in control. He is in the place of authority and power. God set humanity over creation, not to worship the creation and not to destroy the creation, but to tend to it, to care for it. God set man in the garden again and left him. And there he put Adam, and he told Adam to name all the animals. Of course, he's making a point to him that he had not one fit for him yet. And God would create on that day a woman from his rib. And so as we read there in the Scriptures, Adam named the animals. But God named Adam. And God is the one who gave him identity, making him in his own likeness. God, for those who rebel against God, those who deny his creation, his power, who refuse to see him through the things that are made, God gives those people over to lust, to their own desires. And we see this in Romans 1. And it feels like I could preach from Romans 1 every week. Every time I turn on the news and I look in the TV and I see the things that are going on, I think Romans 1. Romans 1, 18, down to the end of the chapter, and you can read what the world is doing, how many have abandoned God, and why it's happening. So I'm just going to read two verses here from Romans 1, verses 24 and 25. Look at it with me. It says, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They lost all self-control. They degraded themselves. And why are they now degrading themselves? He says this in verse 25. Because, he says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? How so? They worshiped and served the creature. What is the creature? That which is created. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what we see going on today in our society and our world. And a very powerful point is made here. We see it echoed in the words and teachings of Christ and from the very beginning of the Bible, how we are to see our Creator, how He made us, and how He made us in His likeness and in His image. We see our value in that. And yet, when people rebel against God, we also see what happens. If you back up there in Romans, you go back to verses 18 through 20, you read right there, what happened? They refused to honor God. They weren't worshiping Him. They didn't give thanks to God. They didn't recognize God or who He was. And those three things have always stood out to me. I've told my children, and I remember teaching this before in teenage class, if you want to become an unbeliever, you want to become a pagan, you want to become an atheist, this is what you do. You don't worship God. It's who He is. And you don't recognize Him, and you don't give thanks to Him. And you will see yourself be degraded. You will lose control. You will be given over to these things. To these foolish things. When people see themselves as gods and superior to others, they then also treat one another harshly. They belittle one another and they degrade each other. You know, when God created man, it doesn't say He created them in different kinds. He created them. Male and female. He created them in the image of God. And yet, because of Darwinian evolution, in the beginning of the 20th century, there were zoos in the United States, at Harvard, in New York City, where there were people put in the zoos. You can go look it up, study it. Why? Because they were primitive people. They weren't as superior as we are. That was their thinking. Because we were a more evolved. We're genetically superior. We've heard that before. We've seen the atrocities, the millions who have killed, 60 to 120 million who are slaughtered just in the 20th century in wars because of ideology like that and the thinking that is behind that. The idea of eugenics and the belief that others have greater and better eugenics. But as we think about what makes us in the likeness of God, and if you were to take away some of the reasoning or some of the ability of language or even some of the will, that doesn't degrade us. We're still made in His image. And what I mean there is that some of us have disabilities. But there are some in our world that would say because you have disabilities or you're not as good in that you're not worthy of life. But the Scriptures say you are. God has made you and created you in His image. He has put you where He wanted you to be in His creation. And He loves and cares for you. And so that all that who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we all need a Savior. And He's provided a way through Jesus Christ. When we rebel against God, what we see this morning, and what we can notice throughout history and in our culture today, is that humanity becomes overtly walking contradictions. We'll say one thing and do another. We're from one extreme to the other. We go from one pole to the next because we fail to recognize God, to thank Him, and to honor Him. That's why it's so important And God bless you for being here this morning. We begin our week off right. It's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. And the first thing that we have done this morning is we come together as Christians to edify one another in God's Word and to worship our Creator, to recognize Him, because that puts things in perspective. As I conclude this morning, I want to turn your attention now to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And you probably know where I'm going. But Psalm 139, it might be your favorite psalm. I think these passages are beautiful. Not only are beautiful, when I think about David saying them, it always makes me kind of laugh. Because it's humorous. What David here is saying to God. But it's all truth. This is Scripture. This is the Word of God. So David says this in Psalm 139. Look at verses 13 through 16. For you have formed my inward parts, and you have covered me in my mother's womb. You made me. You see, God created and it made everything in creation, but He still forms us. He still has a hand in us being formed and created in the womb. A babe in the womb. Look at verse 14. And David says, and I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever think about that? You ever look at your reflection and think, God, you did a good job. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe you don't. Maybe you think, I don't know. But you can look at your body and see how God has organized it, how He's put you together, and how He's made you in His image. And when I look at my hands and I know the strength that God puts into my body, I can say the same thing. I will praise you, God. Why? Because you made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You did a good job. Marvelous are your works. How great are God's are we in God's creation? And he says, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, when I was made in my mother's womb. In other words, what he's saying. He says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all were written, the days fashioned for me. God, you already knew the days set before me, when as yet there was none of them. Beautiful scriptures. And as we've had read for us this morning from Psalm 33 about God's creation and how He has put man in the position of dominion and rule over the creation, and we read from Psalm 8, we see the beautiful psalm there again, how God has created man. I want us to never lose that focus. When you compromise this, when you no longer honor and thank and recognize your Creator, you are compromising and opening yourself up for foolishness, for degradation, and not being who God created you to be. I would love to see a world where the majority or all believed in God and understood the fundamental principles that we read and see here in the book of Genesis. And as I conclude this morning, I think about how all things were created. God spoke them into existence. He created them by the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1. And Christ has dominion over all things, and it's by His Word and His ability that all things hold together today. He is the only one who can save you from sin. And the Scriptures tell us the Gospels, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Jesus died, and He rose on the third day from the grave so that you can have the hope of the resurrection, so that you can overcome death the way that Christ has. This morning, if you want the forgiveness of your sins and all to be washed away in the blood of Christ, you come to Jesus. You confess your faith that Jesus is the resurrected Lord. And having made that confession that He is the Son of God, you repent of your sins. And you, having died to yourself, you can be buried in baptism, united with Christ, to walk and rise in newness of life. You need to obey that gospel this morning. You can do that, the gospel. If you need prayers, you need any encouragement, you can come forward this morning. And if you don't feel comfortable coming forward, find someone, another fellow Christian, who will pray with you, encourage you, and study with you. Let's stand and sing together.